We have, for the first time, the combined committees here, and I'm sure we'll get through it very smoothly. We have minutes from what used to be Building and Grounds. We don't have minutes from Highway and Parks and Wall from the last meeting. It will help, and I'll help everyone here that hasn't been involved in Highway and Parks go through this, what we've been doing, and I'm sure all of our heads of divisions here will also, and along with Ray. So that's our call to order. Roll call. We have everyone here except for Supervisor Colmeyer, I believe. He might be in a different room. Or downtown. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, use the government. We're going to go through quite a few things tonight, and I always add quite a bit as we go along. The combination of these committees is going to, you know, it's going to take a meeting or two, and everyone's going to get very much used to it. We're all involved in various committees, so this is not going to be a big problem for anyone that I can see. We will have, Ray's going to, you know, we've got minutes from the Building and Grounds. Ray's going to go through some of the things that are happening for both committees. And with Highway and Parks, we'll have our highway, our parks and golf people go through everything that's happening. I know we've got people from facilities here that will do the same. So we won't have a midnight meeting. Any other supervisors wish to comment before we move on? Youth and governance, anyone? Citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to speak, address the committee, would have 5 minutes to speak on any topic. Any citizens wish to comment? So now we'll move on to old business, highway, parks, and golf.
There wasn't any significant carryovers from the last meetings. We had wrapped up quite a few things. So we really just have reports from each of the standing departments, basically, for what's going on, what's happened in the past month since the last time we met in Highway and Parks. For the Building and Grounds guys, I guess there isn't anything real significant. The KD Park is, I guess, continues to be under development. I'll speak a little bit about that. The Green Ribbon Committee, I know that Supervisor Grady's familiar with it. Even though he wasn't on Highway and Parks, he sat in on a couple of Green Ribbon Committee meetings. Basically, there's a committee that's kind of a steering committee overall for the development of that park, which will ultimately bring recommendations back to this committee to then go to the county board. We did have interviews on Thursday and Friday last week to select a consultant to work with us to develop the master plan. There were 4 firms interviewed. We selected a firm called JJR, offices in Madison, and I'm going to meet with them tomorrow to start to hopefully finalize the details so we can get them working with the committee. We're going to have a Green Ribbon Committee meeting. We've got to get that scheduled for next week sometime. We'll introduce the new engineering design firm to the committee. So that's something big that's going on that we weren't going to talk specifically about tonight, but has been going on really for the past year. Golf, I think everybody's keenly aware of what's been going on there, and Dan's going to give some insight into some of the most recent activities taking place there. Typically, the way it works is each department will give a report in addition to any specific things that may require action, resolutions and other things that require specific action. And in addition to that, which tonight there isn't anything that falls into that category, but there are reports from Gary Sipsman, the Highway Commissioner, Dan Dreyer, the Golf Manager, and John Rudy, the General Manager of the Parks. So I'll give reports in each of those areas so everybody knows kind of what's going on and where we're at.
Thanks, Rick. You know what we should probably do, what I didn't do, because I know everybody. I don't like meetings where you do this, but I think we probably should do it. So some of the supervisors might not even be familiar with who's who. So from Ray going this way, up at the table here, do we introduce ourselves?
Sure. Everybody knows me, Ray Arbor, the Public Works Director. Dave Schilling from the Regional Planning Commission.
I'm Dan Dreyer, General Manager of the Golf Division.
John Rudy, General Manager of the
Parks Division.
And Vicki, she's in the back.
Vicki Gallage, the Fiscal Service Manager for Department of Public Works.
Gary Sipsma, County Highway.
Frank Martinelli, Manager of Engineering Projects.
Jim Kupfer, Finance.
Ron Henning, Manager of Facilities Maintenance.
Kathy Driscoll, Accounting Specialist for the Highway Department.
Bill Grady, County Supervisor, First District.
Dan Esposito, County Board Supervisor, District 20.
Boyd Voter, County Supervisor, District 16.
Dennis Elverman, County Board, District 27.
Kel Gens, County Board Supervisor, District 19.
John O'Day, District 14, Supervisor.
Todd Rail, Planning and Development.
Jacob Trum, Youth and Governance Member.
Dustin Beth, from Youth and Governance, and I will be on this committee on May 17th.
If you're lucky. So, thank you, everyone. New business. Chapter 2, Park and Open Space Plan for Kenosha County, Dave Schilling. Sure, back in Dave, if you could tell everyone why we're doing this.
Sure. Three of you guys have been at all the meetings. But we're updating the county's Park and Open Space Plan. Was done, the full-blown plan was last done in 1987, and some amendments along the way. But we're updating the plan to keep the county eligible for various grants that are available. DNR requires adopted park plan to be eligible for stewardship funds, for example, and I know there's a big interest in getting money for trail systems. This is the third time we've met. First time was just to go over the outline. The second time was to review the introductory chapter. I think John provided everyone with that chapter, so you missed much there. And now we're up to the first of the two inventory chapters. This chapter is called Inventory Findings. It talks about things, population, housing, land use, various natural resource features. Chapter 3 is an inventory of park and open space sites, trails, historic sites, those kind of resource-related items are in a separate chapter. That'll be the one that follows. Obviously follows this one. We're working on that, putting that together. But if you'd like, I could, however you want to do it here, you want to flip through the chapter quickly, or and then just stop me if you have questions along the way. That works for me.
I think, you know, flip through it quickly. I'm hoping that everyone had a chance, and actually I did. I found it very interesting to read the whole thing, you know, to go back and see since 1800s where we were.
Right.
I don't think we definitely have to go through paragraph by paragraph. So if someone wants to have you highlight something, but otherwise as probably brief as you feel like.
Okay, I can do brief. Well, we start off with the demographic and economic characteristics, population. The 2000 data is in now, so we can include that. The county's up to 166,000 people, 41% increase over 1970, which is a higher rate than the state and the region. 60% of the population's in the city of Kenosha. Got the companion household data there. Households have grown, as it is true everywhere, growing at a faster rate than the population. As that's happened, household size has decreased across the board. Both rural and urban areas since 1970 has been pretty continuous. And that's true throughout not only the county but the region and the state as well. We include some information on age distribution. There we can only go through 2000. The 2010 data is not available yet. That becomes important, the age distribution for the type of parks you can accommodate. Of course, as we see throughout here, the population is aging pretty rapidly here with the baby boomers. Included employment data, I guess we found about 78,000, according to our data anyway, in 2008, and dropped back down to, in 2009, to about 74,000. Kind of, that's happened across the board too with the recession, the turn down in economics. And we have a series of maps and data, historic urban growth. There we've gathered data. The commission's had a data set that we've tracked since, you know, what's there in 1850 moving forward. You know, not quite a growth, a ring tree type growth, but it's, you know, generally the urban areas have expanded, and then we had a kind of a big burst there, as is the other counties, where a lot of growth around the lakes and some of the other the settlement communities like Silver Lake, Wilmot, New Munster. Throughout the plan, the comprehensive plan was done not very long ago. We're going to use whatever we can out of that document. That's, you know, it's loaded with data. So some of this is taken right out. That's the most recent information. Like existing land uses, 2007 inventory was done for that plan. That's the most recent inventory. About a quarter of the land use in the county is urban. That's residential, industrial, commercial, that type of development. Half of that is residential. And then the remaining 73% of the county, still over 200 square miles, is still what we would call rural land uses, wetlands, woodlands, agriculture. Then we have a section starting on page 4 that talks about natural resources. We have a series of maps that go with that. The way I usually put these chapters together, I put the text up front. It's easier to read that way, and then the maps and tables are on the back. I know if you're trying to read and look at the same time, it's not easy, but is that all right with everyone to put it together that way? I know John was talking about getting, consequently the three holes, talking about getting binders so people could put it in binders and then flip around.
I have 5. I'll get 2 more.
Okay. So we have a big section here on natural resources, surface waters. We have a series of maps that show perennial streams in the county, about 154 miles of streams. And we laundry list all the different perennial streams that are in the county. We've got 20 major lakes. Those are lakes that are 50 acres or larger. So water resources is an important feature in the county, and consequently a lot of recreation opportunities there, be it fishing, picnicking, canoes, boating, whatever. Groundwater resources is a new item that we've typically included. It identifies, the reason we do that is that's a fairly recent plan that was completed by the commission, the water study. We show a map there of all the recharge areas ranking from very high to high, moderate, and low. About 25% of the county is in that very high and high category. Consequently, as the plan moves forward and there's recommendations to preserve some of the open space lands, be it the environmental corridors that I'll talk about later, or even ag land, a lot of those areas, that's where a lot of those areas are. If you protect those, you protect the recharge areas in the county.
Just a quick question on that. Can I bring some up, Dennis?
Yes.
On the recharge map, this is map 2-4, groundwater recharge potential Kenosha County. I can understand the city why areas are in red, low ability to recharge. But just in Village of Bristol, along Highway 45, some red areas there. Just hydrologically, is there a rationale that you're familiar with why that's like that?
For why there's something low there?
Yeah, so it's not good rechargeable.
Well, it's either, two things happens. It's either highly highly developed or upland areas, or potentially it's just soils that aren't conducive to letting groundwater soak in at those locations.
So in the southern part of the map, in the southern part of Bristol down here, what is it specifically in that area? I mean, are we looking at population density or along 45?
I'm not specifically familiar with what's there that causes that big red blob that I can turn there. But, it's either, again, I'm thinking it could be simply higher ground.
Right here.
A lot of these are, of course, the recharge areas are going to be along a number of factors. Obviously, the lower areas where the water sits for longer are going to recharge better, or if you just have simply more sand and gravel soils where the water's going to run. If you have an area that's heavy in clay, the water's not going to soak in very well there either.
Thank you. Carry on.
Okay. Floodplains, we have a map in there on floodplains, about 31 square miles. There are counties in the floodplains. We do note that that's the inventory that's out there now. The FEMA's going through their map modernization. What basically happens there is they've, over time, a lot of people have done studies to more in greater detail or more accurately identify floodplains and some of those old FEMA maps that kind of broad brush generalized. Engineering's been done to identify those in detail. They've never formally been incorporated into the FEMA mapping. They're going through all that now, and the people that worked that are in the know say they hope that new mapping will be available in 2012. At a page size map, I'm likely to be able to tell, but there will be new mapping available. Some of the regions been done already, a couple of counties, but not Kenosha County. Wetlands, almost 31 square miles are in wetlands. That's based on the fairly recently completed Wisconsin Wetlands Inventory. It was done based on 2005 aerials. In that inventory, they've also identified where everyone, the feds have always recognized that there's farmed wetlands. Those that, if the guy wasn't farmed, them probably would be wetlands because they meet they're wet most years. They've actually went and attempted to map those, about 2 square miles of those farmed wetlands in the county. Again, those are, if you look at the picture now, they're not, it's not sedges or cattails, it's probably soybeans or corn, at least in that snapshot in time. But there's some federal regulations that come into play there. Doesn't affect someone farming it. Could affect if a subdivision or something was proposed there, then they'd come into play. Our land use inventory also includes an inventory of woodlands, that's upland woods. There are lowland woods that are included with the wetlands. About 14 square miles of woodlands, about 7% of the county. Then there's an inventory of natural areas, critical species habitat, and geologic sites. There was a plan done in 1997 that the county adopted. That plan has recently been amended to update the information to recognize where resources have been destroyed or where they've identified new things, especially with respect to the critical species habitats. And staff has gone out in the field. They find these unique species, either plant or animal. And that plan was in 2009 that just got adopted by the commission, and it's been provided to the county. I don't know, and I think we always ask the county endorse it to recognize it as an update. But we've, for this purpose, we've included their updates, which wasn't much in Kenosha County in this plan. But the three things are the natural areas, which are those high-quality resource areas that are either haven't been too disturbed by human activity or have come back, so it's very representative of what the pre-settlement vegetation was like. It could be wetland, could be woodland, prairies, but there's 42 of those sites in Kenosha County. They also identified outside of those natural areas where they're where they've identified areas that their chief value is that they support some rare endangered species. Could be bird, could be plant, could be any number of things. In most cases, it's a plant or bird in southeastern Wisconsin anyway. There's 32 of those sites. And then they also included an inventory of geological sites. In most parts of the region, that means it's an outcropping of Niagara Dolomite or some unique kettle moraine feature. Kenosha's got one site down in the Shawakin Prairie, the Kenosha Dunes area. It's a unique geologic site there in southeastern Wisconsin. Continuing on page 9, Lake Michigan is obviously an important factor. You've got the whole eastern shore. The whole eastern boundary of Kenosha County is along Lake Michigan. That has a lot of value with respect to bird migration, fishing, boating activity. Obviously, not all the counties have to deal with or have such a valuable resource there to take into account anyway as we do a park and open space plan. Then the big player here is environmental corridors, isolated natural resource areas. The commission has been mapping those areas for a long time. It's a composite of all the important natural resources, wetlands, woodlands, steep slopes, wildlife habitat, existing proposed parks, rivers, lakes, streams, that we've identified. And they're basically divided into three groups. The primary environmental corridors, those are the biggest and the best, have to be at least 400 acres, 2 miles long. Secondary environmental corridors, a lot of the same resource features. but are smaller in size. They only have to be 100 acres or a mile long. And isolated natural resource areas, which are the little pockets of woodlands and wetlands, and they're 5 acres, but they're separated because of agriculture or urban development that has separated them from those other bigger areas. In fact, Kenosha County, when we first finished doing the detailed mapping, we did the environmental corridor mapping as part of our first regional plan. It was before my time, 1966. But then subsequent to that, they refined in detail that Kenosha County was the first county to ask for that back in 81-ish. I was actually there for that. But asked for our detailed maps and incorporated into a major rezoning effort back in the early 80s. Then. So the county's done a very good job in their zoning, base zoning, and obviously in the town areas, to identify those corridors as part of their zoning categories. And as a major component of the any plan we do and any plan that the county does, including the comprehensive plan. We took all those pieces that I've talked about here and put them kind of on one map as a composite just to show all the stuff that's going on. Somewhat difficult to read at this scale, but it does show a lot of things that are going on there in the county. And then finally, we have a section here on agricultural lands. We still got 128 square miles. 46% of the county is identified in the lower states as agriculture. And you currently have a effort going on by county staff on doing an update to the farmland preservation plan, and that looks at the more valuable, more agriculturally, the higher productive soils, the class 1, 2, 3 soils, and 98% of the ag land that you have is in those soils. So Kenosha is really blessed with a lot of very productive soils under agricultural uses. The trick is how much of it stays over the long term. But Dan Trelor of the county staff is working on doing the update to the farmland preservation plan, where they'll look at doing a detailed look at those types of things. But it's still important from an open space standpoint in the park plan, because it's part of the open space. In some areas that might be the open space as opposed to woodlands, wetlands, which would be some of the, especially in the central part of the county, I think you've got a lot more ag than you do when you get out towards the Fox River and kind of water-related stuff there, Wheatland and Randall. So that's the inventory information in a nutshell. Anything that we covered all, or is there anything you thought was missing or a question on anything?
Well, I think if people read the report and then went through the maps, it was a little difficult going back through the maps, but I hadn't had a beer or anything, so I could do it. I did it on Sunday when it was quiet in the house. So it's a very efficient report. I thought, and I'm sure other people read it also. So what's our next step then?
Well, at the last meeting, I think the plan is, if the committee's comfortable with this, then I'd like to get approval of the chapters as we go, and then I'll move on to the next chapter, the park and open space inventory chapter.
So do we have any questions this evening? It's a fairly extensive report.
It is. Just for my own education, maybe bring the committee up to a little bit of further knowledge here. Just on table 11-8, it gets into some habitat areas in Kenosha County. It makes a distinction on the lakes between a drained lake and a drainage lake. Could you elaborate upon that?
The difference is, for example, drain lake means that there's water flow that comes in and out. You know, there's an inlet and an outlet basically in the lake.
Drained lake.
A drain lake. A drainage lake means it's formed by things going to it.
No real outlet to it.
Right. Great.
No, there's an outlet. There's no inlet.
There's no inlet.
The drain lake has a...
an outlet but no inlet.
But it could have an inlet too, a drain lake.
Yeah.
But the drainage lake means that there's really no outlet to it, that everything just kind of comes into it. It's a...
See, I thought there's no inlet, but there's an outlet. Seems the paperwork here. Is that your paper?
Is it?
I read it somewhere.
I could be wrong.
I'll never find it again.
Footnote B.
Is it in the footnote? I knew it wasn't in the text.
Drainage lakes and lakes that have both an inlet and outlet and two main water sources of river or stream. Drain lakes are lakes which have no inlet, that do have an outlet, and which are groundwater fed. Primary source water is from precipitation and runoff from the immediate drainage area.
So I did read that, right?
You did. I was right except about the part with it has an outlet.
Which page are we on today?
That's
it's the last page before the first map.
Okay.
Let's read that table.
Nice.
Because all through the reading here, I was wondering, why am I going to figure this out? And I read that.
Good. Thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate that.
Any other questions? Any conversation? If not, do we have a motion to approve Chapter 2 here so that we can...
Second.
Move to second. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Youth and Governance. Thank you. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you.
Highway Director's Report.
Last week we opened bids for hot mix asphalt pavement materials, which is the black dot that we use on all of our resurfacing program on the county trunk highways and any other asphalt projects we do. The cost submitted as part of the bid is the seasonal price that we'll pay throughout the year, and it's the price that we pay picked up at the plant. This year, for the first time in as long as I can remember, we actually had three different firms submit costs. Typically, we have one. This year, we had Payne and Dolan, Black Diamond, and Ammon all submitted bids. And I guess not surprisingly, the cost may reflect that as the prices actually went down considerably this year from last year. For binder material, this year the cost was $44.50 a ton, which is $3.45 a ton less than last year. Surface material is $46.50 a ton, and that's $3.25 a ton less than last year. So a little bit surprising and good news for our program. We do have a dollar amount budgeted for material each year, so as the prices go down, the amount of mileage goes up that we can get done. Payne and Dolan was a little bitter, and we'll proceed on with our program with the award going to Payne and Dolan. As far as our resurfacing program goes, we're starting some prep work out on Highway O between the Village of Twin Lakes and Geneva Road. That's actually a carryover project from last year that we weren't able to get done. That project's going. The rest of the plan is still a work in progress. I need to go out and complete pavement ratings on all of the county trunk highway system so that information can be entered into our pavement management program, and then I'll go ahead and determine a priority of which roads will be resurfaced in that program. Hopefully next month, I would, with some luck, if I can get out and get all those pavement ratings done, I'll have a plan put together and reviewed at the next committee meeting. Another project that we've discussed a little bit in the past is the Highway C and MB intersection. We did have a public informational meeting for that project, and we are moving forward with the roundabout design on that intersection. However, based on some of the comments at the public informational meeting, we're making some fairly significant design modifications to the Highway MB legs of the roundabout. And we also have to purchase a considerable amount of right-of-way for the project. So because of the plan modifications, the soonest we could begin construction would probably be about the end of August, which presents some problems. Actually, at the public informational meeting, a group of the local farmers had talked to me about that exact situation of having a fall construction period, and I don't know how many tens of thousands of bushels of grain that they have to truck through that intersection throughout the falls. They were really concerned about having to go through a fairly extensive detour, which would take them all the way to the I-94 East Frontage Road. And then to make matters worse, I was notified by the state that they are going to close the East Frontage Road this fall to replace the Des Plaines River Bridge. So given all that, I thought that it's in everyone's best interest to just go ahead and delay that construction until next summer and get the project done in a June, July, August time frame and lessen the impacts on the local businessmen, being the farmers, and not having this extensive detour that would be required now that the East Frontage Road is going to be closed. So I'm not made an official announcement. I guess maybe I just did make the official announcement, but that project will be delayed until next summer. Some of the other projects that are going on, mostly on the state level, Highway 75, all of Highway 75 in Kenosha County is starting. That project's starting. That's a rehabilitation project that will require that entire segment of road to be closed throughout the summer. They're looking at about a three-month period, I believe, to finish that project. And then the projects along I-94 are beginning to, I guess the most significant one actually isn't in Kenosha County, it's just south of the state line, between the state line and Russell Road. Those lanes are now reduced to two in each direction. So you may want to avoid that on the weekends. I think that was all I had for reports.
Any questions for Greg?
What's going on with 75 closing both directions for the entire summer?
It is, yeah. It's a rehabilitation project that the Wisconsin Department of Transportation is doing, where they're pulverizing the existing pavement, they're relaying it, they're paving the traffic lanes and the shoulders, and they are doing some fairly significant improvements to all the intersections.
Local traffic?
Local traffic access, yes.
Only?
Only.
And that's from what point to what point?
From Highway 50 in Kenosha County north to Highway 11 in Racine County.
That's a big stretch.
That's a big stretch. It's a big project.
We've reported and talk about it, how that's going to affect the golf course, and
right.
The state has said they're going to work with us with detours, and, you know, letting traffic through and things. We're just more concerned how many people will let their vehicles go through that. So it's going to be a very trying time for the golf business out there.
Because we've had two special meetings with the DOT specifically.
Right.
One was actually at Brightondale so they could really, you know, digest what our concerns were. And they've committed to maintaining access between 142 and the entrance to Brightondale.
That's a pretty short stretch right there. What is it?
Half mile?
Quarter?
Three quarters.
The key will be, though, because of where they're going to have signs designating the road closed and detours, that we have signage then in each of those spots saying that it's open to Brightondale,
right.
Go, you know, this way thing. So we've got a pretty good game plan. Gary and Dan have worked on a pretty good game plan, and the state's been very receptive, and we met with Payne and Dillon, who's the primary contractor and the engineering firm as well. So we're trying to stay ahead of it and get as much information out via the internet, email groups he's got, and so forth, so that we can advertise it. You can get to Brightondale pretty painlessly, even though the road's going to be tore up from Valley to Brisket pretty much in Gilmer County.
So does the state call the shot on that, Gary? They say, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, this is the time frame, and we're just kind of along for the ride, is that it?
Yes, that is it. Now, they're cooperating to some extent, you know, I mean, allowing us to do what's necessary from a signing standpoint to direct traffic the best we can, but you know, there's and hopefully they'll work with us to get the contractor to schedule or have an accelerated schedule at least in that segment from Highway 142 to Brightondale, so that, you know, there's as little impact as possible.
But it's their contract, it's their bid. They basically do most of
the state highway.
Yeah.
The biggest concern is going to be if you've got 10 golfers that live in Antioch that are used to coming up Highway 83, which turns into Highway 75, to get them to go over, up, around, again, you know, are they going to do it? That's the big concern.
Will they even know to do that? I mean, will we have signs in place that direct them to do that, or will it just be kind of a, okay?
We will have signage.
As long as we pay for the signage.
Yeah, it's okay. Going to be on our dime, but we're going to do.
It's not going to be a very pleasant year. It's going to be a very trying year.
Could I suggest, too, that we put out something in the newspaper, let people know that they will be able to access that from 142? Because that's a big question right now. I know they had a big thing in the paper about if you go on there, you're going to get a fine of $180 or whatever. They're going to be writing citations, so unless it's just local traffic. So I think we need a clarification that, you know, that we have the ability to at least use that small stretch from 142 to the entrance. And it's not only for the golf course. You know, they got the baseball diamonds out there, too. And they have tons of tournaments scheduled and all kinds of activities going on over there, too. So, I mean, it's pretty important that people know that, yes, you can access that off of 142.
There was an article in the paper saying that?
There was an article in the paper about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, stating that the highway was going to be closed, and if anything other than local traffic was on there, that you would get a citation. They were going to be writing citations. So I was a little, when I read that, I was a little concerned, and I thought, well, why don't they put something in about giving access to the golf course without writing a citation? So I think we need clarification.
Yeah, and we can talk to the Sheriff's Department about that, too, to make sure they're aware of what's, you know,
yeah,
what's
the only police are out there, the sheriff.
Well, that's a good idea, though, is to get the clarification.
So what about getting a hold of, like, editorial, you know, should just have them do an article on that, or even like an ad, you know what I mean?
That'd be nice.
Maybe more, you know, I'm sure you can look at, you know, like a sense of rebuttal or, no, we're going to lose some. See what you know. Worst thing in our city is no.
And again,
I mean,
it's not
somebody's
going to
read.
Excuse me.
Somebody's
going to
read
that.
Read the article more than they're going to read that. You know what I mean?
25-cent beer on Fridays. Right. They'll get a path to your door.
Right.
I was going to say, as long as you do the commercial news, do the standard press as well. Because there's going to be people trying to come down from the Burlington area.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just talking about, you have to pay for an ad. If you can get editorial to do something, even in the sporting section or something, do you know what I mean? Financially, could be a little bit more conducive.
Yes, sir.
Gary, from your expertise on what they're going to actually do to the road, destroy it, put it back, that three-quarter mile, if they concentrated on that little section, and they really got to it, how long would it take them to do both sides, to finish it out?
The worst. If the timing was right, it could be like a week. I mean, you know, to get it pulverized, they have some drainage culverts that they have to replace. And then at least just get a binder course of asphalt on. They won't be able to get the final surface on until, you know, the binder is on the entire stretch. But, I mean, at least get it to that point where people have a comfort level of driving on at least a new asphalt surface rather than pulverized asphalt material.
But they're not going to pulverize a section in the middle. They're not going to do that. You know, it's going all the way to 11 from 50. So they're not going to take a piece in the middle and get it all ready for you.
Could they do it in a week? Yes. Are they going to do it in a week? We can try.
Well, yeah. if three, four weeks go by and it's not even close, and then...
Well, we're working on Whitewater Lake right now. Mm-hmm. And Walworth County is doing an extensive project. People that live in the western part of the county know Highway A... from Elkhorn to Janesville is the main way to get to Madison.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're doing that right now to Rock County, and they ran into wet weather. So it's been pulverized now for 2.5 weeks. Now the farmers haven't been able to plant. So next week, and I know the supervisor that's doing the paving, next week the farmers are all going to be on that road with their big tractors, and they're going to be trying to pave. So, I mean, it's... The weather played a big role there, and who knows what it played.
I was on that this weekend, and I didn't know that was in it. It's incredible. It's 20 miles.
It's all right. It's all
right.
You they should did. Do it in a dump truck with a short wheelbase.
Yeah. No, they did that up in Webster. I know what
it's. It's going to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, when it's done.
But the farmers in Walworth County, that's all Libby's country. And Highway A, I mean, those are huge farms. Mm-hmm. They cannot stay off Highway A. There's no way. And so they're going to be out there next week when the Hammond starts trying to pay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're work with them. I mean, they, at the meeting we had with them, they, you know, told us they would cooperate and with the schedule.
Trust the DOT.
Yeah, we'll just keep working on them. Working with them.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is our relationship with the contractor. That's very important.
Right.
So, any other questions for Mr. Sipsberg? Gary, that's about it.
Okay. That's all I had.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to monthly activities for parks.
In your packet, I included copies of the Pringle Nature Center notes. On the Katy Park update, I had a meeting scheduled for over 2 months with the aquatic biologist from the DNR, and the chairman met me there, but the specialist failed to show up. So I emailed him and asked what happened, and he said that he just forgot to check his calendar. So we're on again for May 12th at 10 a.m., so I'll bring the beverages if you bring the cards. Okay. I have had an Eagle Scout contact me about a project, so I recommended that he do a kiosk for Katy Park. So when we do open that, we'd be able to post information and rules and other things. I included in your packet a copy of a bat study that was done at Katy Park and at Pets as well in a couple other locations. I'll give you a handout of a sign contest that was held with, was organized by Gateway and the Green Ribbon Committee for it would be a temporary sign for Katy Park until it's actually named and everything else. And two individuals and one team swept it, took all the awards from Central High School. So it was good that they got involved and did all that work. I guess it looked like they got about $1,000 each and $5,000 in scholarships. So that was a pretty nice contest for them. On park activities, right now, here, the Highway Division pulverized what we call the North Woods attempt. It's that loop road on the north side of A. They're installing drainage up there. We actually, that road broke up and got so rough we didn't even open it last year. And I had one person ask me why not. Everybody else that walks and bikes loved it to be able to have that portion of the park just for hiking and biking. So what we're doing is paving it down to a 10-foot hiking path. And there was no room in there with the trees as a roadway to begin with to put any kind of ditching in. So the highway department's been up there working, grading and installing culverts, so there'll be a nice bike path and hiking path up through there. One of the other problems that we had with the North Woods continually was it was a dumping ground for roofing supplies, with, yard waste, wash machines. I guess it was secluded enough that everybody got comfortable with using it for that, so that problem's been eliminated. Other things, we participated in an Earth Day cleanup over with Gateway, mainly because they volunteered to clean up the area north of Brookside down in the woods along that stream that's down in there. The Rydell concession stand, I knew last week they were waiting the results of a water sample to get their occupancy permit, but I see it was open tonight when we drove by. They had games out there, so looks like they're up and running. And that's about it for that. The Silver Lake Bike Trail update. I did contact the village of Silver Lake and never received a response as far as whether they'd help out with any funding on that trail. And the DNR agreed to re-meet with me, which is tomorrow morning, at the boat launch and review, seeing if we could start the trail in that boat launch now, and if there was a way to reduce the costs instead of those expensive bridges across those two gaps. And that's all I have.
Who's meeting you? The same guy we were supposed to meet last week? Or?
No, Marty Johnson and Therese Grippentog.
Okay. Marty's the... I don't worry.
Yep.
Any questions for John?
Dennis, was there some objection to having the trail or whatever go through that boat launch area? What was the history of that?
The DNR did not want us to come up through their property there. They wanted us to go along an old right-of-way that goes out to where the Silver Lake Industrial Park is.
Okay.
So we brought it up at a meeting that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would we go through that? Because it would bring people out of the middle of nowhere. If you're familiar with that road, it's Highway B.
Right.
And there's Industrial Park, Shenning Industrial Park, I believe it is, with Lotus Light and things.
That's way out there.
It comes to nowhere. Yeah. So the theory was for people to get from a beautiful boat launch that Silver Lake has over to our park. And then they also threw in these enormously expensive bridges that they wanted us to conduct over a couple areas that don't always flow. And we were hoping to meet with them and see if we could do boardwalks.
Oh, so that's still in the process of what we're talking about.
Yeah, John's meeting with them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So John mentioned the KD, and we talked about the signage for the KD part. Now last year, or last 2 years, we've done, for people that haven't been here, we've had a youth group, it was actually at-risk youth groups, building our hiking trails there. We've got 4-point-some miles of trails built. We've got some shelters, two and a half, I guess we've got the third one under construction out there. And then in the fall, we held some open houses. We had 2 weekends that we were open, that opened these hiking trails. Now we talked about this spring and summer getting them open some more. John and I had a talk about it, and I know without being able to meet, part of the discussion has been what we're going to do as far as the fishing out there. It's a very plentiful area, and people know it. When we had those two open houses, some people did very well. So we wanted to meet with this Doug Welsh and find out what they would suggest as far as a limit, catch and release, whatever we were going to do. We don't really have that resolved.
That's really the last piece.
That's one of the last pieces. But what I was going to suggest this evening, on a limited basis, I know we're not ready to do this on a full-time basis. John informed me that they'd be able to do it on a limited basis since they go to the dog park out there, a quarter mile away, that possibly Memorial Day weekend we have another one of these open houses where we let people, because I can't even go to the grocery store without people that were out there wanting to get on those hiking trails. No matter what happens with the Green Ribbon Committee, and that's another thing that's way out there, could be 3, 4, we don't know how many years. We've owned this property for 10. I was at the ribbon cutting 10 years ago when I was the vice chairman. Since the trails are there, a couple reasons for this. Not only the people asking me about it constantly, but we've had this work done on these trails, and you know what happens if we don't have people on them? They deteriorate. We have to get maintenance people out there. We have to mow. Right now, I'll tell you, I looked at them this week, and if you get people walking, we do like the state parks do, you know, you don't have to maintain them. My suggestion was going to be, and this committee can adopt this, that we Memorial Day weekend open the hiking trails, have the ability then to, on specific weekends, open the hiking trails. And that would, you know, not interfere with anything that anybody else is doing, but whatever happens out at that park, we know that we're going to have hiking trails. So it's not going to interfere with the thing. That anybody wants to propose to us, when it comes right down to it, the Green Ribbon Committee is going to report to this committee. This committee is going to have the final decision on what happens with the county park out there. So if this committee thinks we have the park open on weekends, specific weekends, but I'd like to start out again what we did last fall with the two weekends that we did, because it was so well received. We can do it with volunteers. I've had a lot of people do that. Mr. Rudy and I had a discussion. We were sitting in the rain for an hour and a half waiting for this state guy last week, that basically all we need out there is a mailbox with the trail maps in it. You know, we've got an Eagle Scout that's volunteered to do a kiosk, and one that said he was going to do the trail markers, but he hasn't quite gotten that through yet. I'd certainly be willing to be out there for that weekend, and I know a couple other supervisors were out there when we did the other two open houses. So if we decide to do it every weekend, every other weekend, we have any discussion on that?
The only thing, Dennis, is that it would be good if we could, as I think, John, you talked about putting some telephone poles to frame out at least kind of
right.
A general parking area, too, so we can contain when folks are driving.
Right. And I don't know if we can do that by Memorial Day.
I don't know if we'd ever drop
maybe not by Memorial Day, but if we were going to have a more
constant
thing, then we could get it by then, yeah. Everything. Because we probably have, We Energy's dropped some of the poles that they're pulling out in that end of the, and just drop them there.
Right. Again. Right. Yes, sir.
Is there a thought in terms of hiking trail usage versus fishing? When you say having it open, are you saying just exclusive to hiking trails and leaving fishing out, or what are your thoughts there?
Well, I think we've got a little problem there because we don't want to ruin the fishery, but you can ruin the fishery by not using it.
Right.
I mean, that's a definite thing. Now, the two weekends we had open, one weekend they hit it like crazy, and the next weekend they didn't. I talked to people at the bait shop, and they said, don't let them fish it out. But you wouldn't fish it out if these specific weekends we had it open, we put a limit. And we said you can have four panfish and one game fish. The lake has about 9 different species, I believe. You know, prolific in panfish, but there's also game fish in it. So I do believe that we don't want to give the state limit, which I believe is 25 panfish. You know, so that would be, that would probably put us in trouble.
So how would you communicate to the, you know, users potentially of the lake that, number one, it's either open or closed, you know, based upon hiking trails or not?
Right.
And two, what the limits are. I mean, there's not a kiosk out there. What would the, how would we go about doing that?
Well, when we had the open houses, we had signs out there.
Okay.
And planning and development is, I don't know who made them, but we're capable to put up signs.
Posting.
Yeah. To post it, like I volunteered, I was out there all day, John was out there. We wouldn't have to do that again, but people will discipline themselves. The biggest use was the hiking trail. We had the parking lot full all 4 days we were out there, and there was maybe 10 guys fishing, and the rest of the people were, they want to use those trails. So I think as a committee, we've got, you know, 4 weeks to work that out. We can talk about the fishing. But I would really like it this evening if we had a motion to open for Memorial Day weekend for at least for that weekend, and then on a limited basis until we came up with a...
Maybe if we could do the proposal would be to open it for Memorial Day, and then we could come back at the next meeting, because we will have met with, hopefully, the DNR guy by then, and then we can develop maybe a recommendation for what the weekends would be or how it would be for the rest of the summer type of thing. One of the things that we heard from the four design firms that we talked to, every one of them, when we interviewed, they said, you really, you know, if you can get it open even in a limited way this year, that buzz that's created will generate even more positive momentum for the development.
Well, that's what we got. And that's when I had people that just wanted to volunteer. Then I heard there were some people on the Green Ribbon Committee that were afraid if we did that, we wouldn't be able to retrain people if they changed what the park was going to be. And my feelings there were, no matter what that park becomes, the hiking trails, we committed to it.
That's a core piece.
Yeah.
That's a core piece.
No matter what.
I think it's the fishing that has people nervous. That's the one thing I'm a little nervous about.
I heard it was swimming by one guy, but I didn't know.
I think Frederick is concerned about the swimming piece.
Doesn't want swimming.
But the fishing piece, just because there's that enforcement piece of it, if you're really,
right.
Will people self-manage? They don't now. They go in there and catch what they want. So, yeah. But the hiking piece is pretty clean. That's really clean.
So, say we do Memorial Day weekend, and we have a meeting right after that. A couple days. Oh, no, we don't. Because that's the Monday.
Yeah.
And right. Be the next. But if people ask, we could say, well, we're going to do it every couple weeks. We'll have more information by then. But...
What is that next week? That's going to be that next week right after the 20th. I assume it's the 30th this year for Memorial Day, last Monday of the month. Right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so
the 30th
the 6th, right. Monday okay. The 6th. So
yeah, it'll be the 6th of June.
Because if you're out there, and I would encourage everyone to come out there when we do that, I mean, you'll be amazed at the people out there and at the beauty of the place, and you'll see, you know, why people would want us to get that open. We've owned it for 10 years. And actually, we have, you know, when I say we own it, I mean, every taxpayer in the county owns it. And they want to get out.
And now we got the access.
Yeah.
Same
thing. I'll make a motion moving forward. I really, if you want to open it, I would rather have it not shut off the spigot on and off. I'd rather open it, period. Have it to be hiking trails. I wouldn't want to be living out there and I had it all. This weekend, I want to take your grandkids out there and walk. Well, I can't go out there. I'd go out there anyway. What are you going to do?
Right.
If it was a weekend that I couldn't go, and I went, what would you do to me?
Well, John, to appease everyone, and that's what I'm trying to do, could you make the motion that we have it open on weekends?
Yes.
Second.
Discussion. Makes sense. Discussion?
Yes, sir.
Can we have a time frame of when we think we could get at least potentially those... telephone poles out there to demarcate a parking area? I mean, do you think, is it possible, from where we're sitting now, to do it by Memorial Day weekend?
It depends. We Energies was going to drop poles up at the KD pit.
Okay.
And I don't know, or I'm sorry, the Highway C pit, and I don't know if there's any up there. And I've only got a half a dozen poles in the park system that I use for posts and things like that right now. So, but if We Energies dropped them there, I could. But, you know, if I can't get them, I can post it, you know, around the perimeter of the parking lot, no motorized vehicles beyond this
right.
point.
So you can do something.
If I can't get enough poles in time. So I can do that. I'll have to post some rule signs and the hour signs and everything else and contact the sheriff. I already had spoke with Captain Apker, and he said it's no problem. They'll close the gates at 10 just like every other park. So.
Okay.
And I was...
I just have a question.
Sorry.
Are you talking about now that you would allow fishing and the hiking trails, or just the hiking trails?
Just hiking.
Just the hiking trails for now.
I know.
Until you make a determination on how you're going to set the rules up for fishing?
How about if we say that first weekend until we can meet with this fellow from the DNR that we say catch and release? We let people fish, but it's catch and release.
So is that a posted item where we post it around the pond that it's catch and release?
Yeah, you can't miss it. We put a sign.
Yeah, the parking lot and the dam really is two access points.
Right. They've been catching and keeping for years out there.
Catch and keep.
Do
I have a discussion on the motion here? So what we would have as a motion would be to open the park for the hiking trails on weekends and the fishing for catch and release until further notice.
One question here is, like, the 4th of July, it goes out on Monday. Do you want to put that in the motion for holidays as well? Or?
Yeah, I think so, don't we? Because Memorial Day is that Monday.
Right.
Just
holiday weekends.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fine, John.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So, John, I'll work with you too. I know if this becomes a big problem, I can even get some help out there. If we get poles, you know, I can get a forklift out there.
Yeah, we can skid them around pretty easy. If we can get our hands on them.
Yeah, if you get them, I can get some forks out there. But we've got a month to work it out. I just want to get that discussion on. Anything else, sir?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much. And thank those people that got involved in that sign contest. That was really interesting. Golf.
Well, let's start out with some good news. We have signed up two new leagues at both golf courses. So we were at 39 last year. Currently, we're at 43 leagues, evening leagues for weeknights. One of the leagues was U-Line, so we got them to come out on Wednesday night. So that's good. We just had our spring scramble last Saturday. That was April 30th. We had 60 participants, and they really enjoyed the tournament. You know, it was the first time a tournament that we created ourselves, and it went over very well. The 6th, May 6th, we're having the Ladies Spring Fling, so that's another new tournament that we've created. Hopefully we'll get some participation. The activities for the 75th anniversary at Petrifying Springs is all listed there. If you could please participate in that, you know, we would sure appreciate as many people coming out to that as we can. Friday is going to be the big celebration. We're going to have the county executive out there doing some speaking. Possibly some of the old park commissioners. John's invited to come out, and hopefully they'll do a little bit of a history out there. So hopefully you guys can show up and have some fun that day. We're also going to have that three club tournament, so if anybody's a player and wants to get in, that'd be fun. We did open up the golf course and the driving range April 1st, which was last year was March 18th. So not only were we behind in the opening, but with the wet weather that we've had compared to last spring, revenues are down, so our rounds down. But we are working very diligently on controlling the expenses. So, you know, we are doing actually fairly well with controlling the labor, especially. We're not as bad off as you might think with all the rain that we've had. So it's still not a good picture, but it's not as bad as you might think. So all of our websites are updated with all of our calendar of events, and we have over 5,200 addresses in our database, so we're doing email blasts weekly. I hope hopefully some of you are getting those and can pass the word around. A couple of the projects that we're working on the grill hood system out at Brightondale. It is inefficient and it does need to be moved over, so we're working on that. We're working on the roofing, and we just installed new double doors at Petrifying Springs and gotten some positive comments on the looks of those. We were also going to be replacing a water line that was in the budget from the maintenance facility over to a pavilion in the park and up to the clubhouse. We've done some additional research on that, and we found that we can install wells at substantial discounts from running that water line. We will be going out to bid for two new wells, one at the pavilion in the park and one for the clubhouse, and hopefully there'll be considerable savings with the new wells instead of running that water line. The Petrifying Springs tea irrigation project is moving slowly as well because of the weather. They've gotten four tea boxes done so far, but we are going ahead. We're getting new pumps for the pump house. They were 1970s models and needed to a lot extensive work, so we are going to be replacing those new pumps this week. We're also putting in a new patio system in the back of the clubhouse. It's going to be a stamped and stained patio, so that should look very nice. And then we've already talked about the Highway 75 project, so that's on the report also. Any questions?
I just want to make a comment. Mm-hmm. I play in one of the leagues out there on Monday nights, and I want to compliment you on the nice job you did the first night we played. It was kind of a welcoming, and everybody got a ticket for a free drink, and we came in after we got done golf and actually had free pizza. So I thought it was a nice touch to let the leagues know that you appreciate their coming out there and giving their whatever that they're there to play. So I thought it was a nice touch, and I thought you did a good job on that. So I wanted to let people know. The second thing I wanted to suggest was I don't get your emails, so you might want to talk to the IT department and send those to all the county board supervisors, because I think they're in a address. So yeah. I don't know about the rest of you,
yeah, I don't
you're
get
getting
out.
But if you could check that out and maybe make sure that we all get them.
County clerk would just be a group, yeah.
I think it's just a group. So if you can get that group on your email class.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It'll be friends that you want to have.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, that's for sure. I thought that they gave me an address, and they said there was everybody associated with the county email.
Okay.
I thought you guys were getting.
You might want to check that out. That's what I get.
As far as the league appreciation, we've tried to do that both spring and fall for all leagues, and what we try to do is have it 2 weeks before leagues start and 2 weeks after to show that they can continue to come out and play, you know, and be involved with the golf course even before and after the league started, and again to show that, you know, that they are there weekly and we do appreciate them. So we'll let you enjoy it.
Any other comments or questions for Dan at all?
Yeah, I got a question, Dan, and I haven't looked at it either, but have you checked long-range forecast? I mean, I haven't, but, I mean, obviously, I know this spring has been junk, you know what I mean, compared to last spring,
right,
where you had a lot of nice weather, 60, 70-degree days. I don't think we even broke one or two this year, you know what I mean? I mean, if we check long-term, and what's the summer looking like? I mean, I know it's hit or miss, but are we expecting a hot summer, cooler than normal? Anybody know that?
I do.
That's why I'm looking at it.
Yeah, because I'm going broke this year, too. The two-month forecast is cooler than usual, and their precipitation about normal.
Okay. I mean, because I was told, you know, prior to these last 3 weeks, we were in this heavy holding pattern of precipitation, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I just got this today.
All right. Thank you.
But cooler.
Okay.
Where did you get that info?
From one of my contractor people. Actually, it's a paving contractor.
Okay.
And, I got the full report this morning. So, you know, because the last 2 weeks, I mean, we lost 5 days out of 10. And, you know, you can't survive on that. And so, you know, we all talked to each other, and he pulled out the report that he had today. But they're saying precipitation is going to be about normal.
Well, I think that's better than double normal.
Well, you can survive if it's cool.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
In fact, that might even interest more play if it's not so hot.
So. Yeah, they're... factor that's really going to affect right now. It's just the gas prices out there, you know, from, you know, no population based in that area. Everybody's got to drive, and at $4.17 a gallon, it's, you know.
Yeah, and I agree with that to a certain extent, but you know what? If you're a golfer, you're going to pay to play golf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's not, you know, I mean, we have a place on the lake, and my neighbor says to me, I don't care what it costs for me to put in my boat because I boat.
Right.
You know, I mean, so I think if that's your gig, you know, I understand that's going to limit these fair weather golfers. But if you're a golfer, I think, you know, if you keep things top notch, you're going to survive through that.
Got many, many positive comments on the conditions of the course already. So,
thank you.
You know, I know last year you've been very innovative as far as what we come up for with promotions and things, but. I know what the Dells is doing right now. They're offering people gas vouchers. You know, if we get to that point, you can say a foursome gets a $10 gas voucher. You know, we can come up with all kinds of things that can get people there. Because it might get up to $5. You know. Any other questions for Dan? No, thank you very much, Dan. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
We'll move on to facilities, old business facilities.
And the way we handle stuff in facilities is we typically, everybody's got kind of their own piece that they're responsible for and they'll do reports on.
Right.
So the first one, the Pringle Center roof repair, that's a project that's been going on for a while, actually. The project is complete, though there is some loose ends. We're going to have a final punch list walkthrough. I just saw the email today, John, from Keith, that he wants to do a final punch list to go through it. But the good news was that the last storm, the last 2 weeks that we've had rain, it hasn't leaked. So it wasn't necessarily a driving rain from the east, which is what caused the problem before. But at least the first indications are positive. So we'll kind of see how that goes.
So what has to be done yet? What's left on the details?
There's a punch list, a walkthrough basically by the our roofing consultant to help lay out the specs for exactly how the flashing had to be designed.
Okay.
He's going to do a walkthrough for that. So at the next meeting, we can kill it. Basically, what we have done in building and grounds and this is we've kept the thing on until it's been completely wrapped up and then we wipe it off the site. It's really similar to the parts. So I'm still keeping on.
Okay.
If Chairman's so inclined, and then with our punch list, as long as we get everything wrapped up on the walkthrough, then it should be done. We should be able to report that it's complete next meeting.
Kemper building then?
Kemper, yeah. Ron and I have kind of tag teamed this thing the last, this has been ongoing for about 6 months. Some of you may have gotten, I know Supervisor Grady had gotten phone calls the last week as we started to modify some of the shrubbery around the two houses that are scheduled for demolition. But Ron, maybe you can give, well, I'll give a general overview and I'll let you walk into it. The basic thing is the two houses on the Kemper property, two houses, there's one right on 3rd Avenue at 66th, and there's one directly east of that. So there's two homes there. We went through all the process of going to the Historical Society, both at the state level and at the local level. We got approval to basically take those two homes down. And the plan is to take those two homes down take everything out, grade it, grass it over, and that's basically what, and we just got approval actually today, formal written approval. We had verbal approval about 4 months ago from the DNR to take out the tennis courts and the fence around there too, but we couldn't get, there was a retirement up there and it was kind of hard to get somebody to put something in writing. We got something in writing today because we had quoted the, we had put the demolition out to bid to include that as an alternate to take out if we got DNR approval. We got that approval, so we are going to actually end up taking out both houses and the tennis courts, so it'll all be, it should be a huge improvement to what's down there right now. In terms of the nuts and bolts, what's been going on the past month, Ron can update me and give you a little list of stuff.
The paper I handed out with the bullet points on it, it's just a general timeline on what has happened in the last month and a half. Beginning with the end of March, we had the water and electric meters removed. The all personal belongings and furniture and things were removed from the building by March 30th. SWAT team and the fire department have been using both buildings for training. I don't know if you've seen the articles in the paper or driven by there, but it's getting a pretty good workout. We had to take down 5 of the trees around the, mostly around the kids' place. 3 of them were rotten completely through. 2 of them had to be removed because of the, they were too close to the building and the fire department wouldn't be able to save them. We were able to trim back another tree and save it. Asbestos has been removed. It was completed today. There's a dumpster there. It should be empty tomorrow, removed from the premise, so that'll be all done. The Bishop's House is scheduled to be burned this Thursday, May 5th, depending on weather.
You said as long as the wind isn't too strong from the east.
I didn't know if it would bring...
south. That he said even if there's a light rain, that's better for them to do it.
Fire department told the demolition people that they can get in there and start demoing the building within 5 hours after the burn. So the company that got the bid wants to get right in there the next day and start removing the basement, hauling stuff out. The kids' place is scheduled to be burned on Monday, May 16th. And again, the company will come in right away on the 17th and clean out the basement, take all the debris out. And then by the week of the 23rd, we should be landscaped and grass should be planted.
What was the total savings with, you know, when the committee came up with burning these places down? Did we say we saved like 60%?
Yeah, it ended up being about, and I haven't put in the all the numbers now because we just got the final piece today. It looks like we're going to save about $14,000 total by burning it. It may be more than that once I actually plug in the numbers, but I can have a spreadsheet for the next committee meeting because I'll have all the final numbers on it.
Just to bring everybody up present, Supervisor Kohlmeyer, Dan are on the committee together. But for everyone else's information, we went through these buildings as a committee, looked at all of them from stem to stern, top to bottom, and just so no one has any regrets or hindsight on this, we determined just by inspection of the buildings and looking at them that the physical shape they were in was very poor. It would have cost a lot of money to fix them up when there were no white knights ready apparently to come and put the money into them. So it's a situation where the committee that I served on at that time, as well as other committee members here, we did do our due diligence, taking a look at the entire situation, so I actually have some degree of comfort with that.
Thank you.
So that's Kemper. Any other questions?
Will they be able to utilize that area in the summer for recreation in terms of if they want to play soccer down there or picnic or how will it play out?
We should be able to, because I believe, John, you can correct me where I'm wrong, but I think that those soccer fields down there were kind of less than official before, and there may be, they may be able to make them closer to official now that the houses are removed. Is that a safe way to describe it? So, yeah, the goal is to have everything finished graded, seeded before the kids are out of school, and if we do get at least in some moisture, I don't know that we're going to irrigate it. I don't think we've got any way to access anything to wet that, so we're going to have to rely on Mother Nature to get the grass out of the ground. But the thought would be that, yeah, it would be a workable service, a surface as later into the season, the growing season this year.
Good. Nothing else? Courthouse Lawn and Row Restoration Project?
Frank's been the point guy on this project, so he's got a little update.
Hey. Handed out a handout here, Courthouse Molinaro Exterior Restoration Project Update. Just the majority of the work, I think, most people have seen the scaffolding and everything go up around the buildings. A very similar job to what was done at Reuther. And Pergolin Construction is the contractor, and Insight Architects is our architect for this job, and we've been working very closely with them. But we have both the courthouse and Molinaro. The courthouse is divided into 11 vertical zones going around sections, and Molinaro is divided into 14 zones. And the majority of the work right now is up on the roof, and I've kind of laid out here just what was done in April and what's planned activities for May. We had zones 6, 7, and 8 of the 11 total zones in the courthouse, the parapet wall, the wall that sticks up approximately 4 feet off the roof. It was taken all the way down to the roof line. It was in very, very, very poor shape. The mortar, the stones had moved on it and needed to be completely taken down. All the stones were marked, removed, and then rebuilt. And, of course, with this, we're also doing the roof as one project, so that can all be done correctly at the same time. The parapet wall made it to the roofing. So that was done. We began demolition of Zone 5 on the courthouse. The HVAC units were taken off the courthouse in Molinaro at this time of year so that they could do the roofing in those areas so they could be put back up. And actually, I just talked to the contractor. They just did finish putting up the HVAC units today. And they want to actually start them up tomorrow or within this next week. So the idea was to do it now when they were not needed, do those portions of the roof underneath and put them back on so that when we got to our cooling season, we weren't messing with that part of the roof or that part of the job. Molinaro sections zone 7 and 8 out of 14 zones and began demolition of zone 1. Plan activities for May, like I said, actually on the HVAC side, they just finished that. We have to test out the units, make sure everything's going well. Continue the rebuilding of zones 6, 7, and 8. Demo zones 10 and 11. Continue rebuilding zones 7 and 8 of Molinaro. And rebuilding of zone 1 on Molinaro. The project issues that we ran into was through the course of it, we had two small leaks, one in Molinaro, one in the courthouse itself, and all the rain that we had. Berglin responded very quickly. One of them turned out to be some of the new roofing they're putting over the HVAC unit. Must have got damaged, a tool was dropped or something, and put a small hole in it, which we found and was fixed and resolved, and one was in the courthouse. That was an area of the existing roof that the water wasn't draining in, and through the construction, more water was building up in the heavy rains, but they also responded to that quickly and took care of it, so we didn't have any damage. We did lose a ceiling tile in the courthouse, but we had plenty of those. So the other item was when they were doing that roofing in the area of the HVAC, they had the hot asphalt in the courtyard, and that just happened to be in a corner that kind of swirled it around and got into the both the courthouse and Molinaro buildings. One Kenosha County employee went home sick, and we talked over with Berglin. They moved the asphalt melter to a different spot that had better airflow, and that did reduce the fumes. They didn't completely get rid of them, that melting asphalt smell, but it did greatly reduce it in both buildings. And of course, as you all know, we had a particularly wet last month or so, and we lost about 5 working days to that. And we may be able to make this up to the project here, since this project's going to go all the way into January. So that's kind of the overview of that project, if you had any questions.
Any questions?
Just on the asphalt roofing material, I had kind of thought that hot asphalt, due to its weight and so forth, was not quite as in vogue these days, because this is a new roof, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you comment just upon your engineering background as to the use of that material as to some of these more lighter weight and supposedly longer life membranes, materials that you're using?
The membrane, we are using a membrane itself, and I remember Dan asked about the specifics about it, and I can dig those up. It is a membrane, but they still needed to use some, it's a small amount of asphalt that they're melting, but they still need to use some asphalt. Yes, correct. I think so.
Yeah, so it's just the seams?
Exactly, the case, especially around the HVAC units. Mm-hmm. So, but we also are looking into the possibility, now that we've had this, and that courtyard is kind of a funny area as far as the wind going through there, and then Ron kind of shed some light on it too, especially that corner, which just happened to be in. But we also are having them research, when they're going to do the main part of the roof, some non-asphalt sealing material, and look at if there's any, what cost differences there would be there, and the pluses and minuses. So at least we'll have that option when we get to it, and I'll be able to brief the committee more.
Okay.
So we are looking at different options.
Thank you.
Right.
So, Mr. Chairman, I was just going to say that, so then if this makes sense, this is what we've been doing on the projects, is we give like a monthly update.
Right.
Frank, just like when we had the safety building project in full speed, he meets, they have a construction meeting every week, and he kind of summarizes what's occurred over the last month, so everybody kind of knows good, bad, and otherwise what's happening. But he includes the issues, because a lot of times you may hear the issues, or you may not hear the issues, but you may hear them later down the road. At least this way you guys are aware of, so if you get a phone call, you know what
right.
the deal is.
Very efficient. Any other questions? So we'll move on. Public safety building.
See, I'll leave that one. And we truly are in the home stretch now on this. I think everybody's familiar with what was involved in the safety building project. We're really in the final stages. The activity that took place in April, where there's a PC deployment room as part of IT. It's on the first floor. That's a big improvement from where they were before. This is located near the dock in the safety building, so they can just bring in, if they get a shipment load of 30 PCs, they can just take a skid, wheel it right into their PC deployment room, just down the hall, about 30 feet. They got a lab set up right there. They can do whatever they need to do in terms of loading software, put them right back out, and take them out to whatever building they have to go to. Before, they had to take them down in the basement of the courthouse, kind of onesie, twosie, work on them, and then deploy them. So this should be a big improvement. That is in and operational. I see that shelves are in place. I see that you guys got the shelves up.
Yes.
And so that looks like that's fully operational now. IT mail, the space is completed. They're not going to move the mail room from the basement of the courthouse over there until probably mid-May right now. But then that will be done. Sheriff's second floor, the activity that took place on the second floor was actually three things that took place up there. There was a professional visitation, which was for all the attorneys, probation officers, and so forth, to meet with inmates. And we used to have four spaces to do that, and there'd be people backed up for sometimes hours at a time. There is now 7 of those spaces, and it's worked out really well. That's been operational for about 2 months now. The segregated cells, that was one of the other things. The sheriff had, I think it was a total of 10 segregated cells, kind of for the baddest apples in the barrel there, as well as guys that were suicidal. And that was a very inadequate number of rooms for the number of folks we were housing downtown. So now we've got a total of 19 of those segregated cells, so they can manage that population a lot more efficiently. Those are open and operational. The corporal's office is the last piece of that that we're moving from where it is currently to another part of the second floor that will basically set the table for, we really had hoped to do the kitchen remodel up in that jail. It wasn't part of the original scope of the project, but it was something we identified early on would be a big saver of energy, huge saver of electrical and gas because it's really inefficient. And the other thing was operationally, right now, the kitchen at the detention center, if you ever went in there, there's a minimal staff of actual employees, and there's a huge staff of worker jail folks that are capable or safe enough to can work in there. But it's because the kitchen's designed to have all the sharp activity take place over here, and it's segregated from all the other types of activities that the inmates can perform. The original jail downtown was never set up that way. That concept didn't exist. So we still only have paid jail staff. We make minimal use of inmate help in that. Well, long term, we really do want to create that situation so that, one, we can recapture energy costs and also allow inmates to work in that jail so we can really take advantage of that part of the population. We didn't get to do that. We were hoping to. We didn't get to do that. But we're at least moving the corporal's office from where it currently is to another part of the jail so that we at least set the table for that project to happen at some point down the road. And there's a few pieces of that that need to be done yet. Women's locker room, something that wasn't in the original scope, but we did identify it as a problem area, and if funds were available, that is open and operational as of about 3 weeks ago. Huge improvement. The county had never been threatened with lawsuits, but the city had been threatened with lawsuits because they have a lot more female officers, and it was very inadequate locker room facilities. That is not the case anymore. And then we got a grant to put in energy retrofit, basically, the existing buildings, HVAC. That's near completion. They're testing, balancing, cleaning the system, kind of fine-tuning that in the old part of the building. So that's really what's going to happen in May, is just punch list, kind of like the second or third level of punch list items that we're going to do, final cleanup, room labeling, interior signage, post-winter landscape replanting, wrap up all the documentation. That all should be finalized and complete in May, and then it should be done.
Any questions from the committee or anyone?
Just a comment on this last part, Dennis. This energy efficient HVAC. A part of that was grant money.
Yep, $225,000.
And the thought behind that was to really make that remodeling work together in terms of efficiency. And I'd asked at our last committee meeting, what did we say? Did we say August that we wanted to take a look at the comparables? Yep. And I'd asked the administration to provide for us here just a cost analysis to see, are we really saving any money in this? How much are we saving? Some details. So we're just looking for some type of feedback as to how this thing's going to pay off.
And it is that documentation we have to provide to the state, actually, for that grant, too.
Right.
The key thing that I've got to work through, as I explained at the last meeting, is we've got to come up with a way to engineer, because what we had to do, we had to replace the one service for the existing building with a completely new electrical service. So at one point we thought maybe we're going to end up with two services, one for the old building and one for the new building. And it turned out we've got one now. So we've got the whole new service for the entire building. We had the one before. So we're going to have to basically engineer a formula to figure out what the old building's costs are and the new building's costs.
There'll be a lot of fudging going on, Dennis, a lot of fudging.
It's going to be less, it'll be fairly scientific, but it'll still be a swag at some point.
So we'll move on to administration building lower level remodeling project.
That was a Frank project, and this is in the home stretch too.
Yeah, just for a little bit of historical background, the committee, the idea from the administration was to bring registered deeds to split between the first floor and the second floor, and also land information was brought under the registered deeds. So the idea was to bring registered deeds all on one floor in the administration building lower level, because the city assessor used to also share that space and had moved out. So the idea was to remodel that area so that all of registered deeds could be together and with land information, and be able to cross-train and be cross-functional amongst land information and registered deeds, and be able to have a line of sight so that they could keep an eye on everyone going through the all the documentation and everything. So we put that together, and actually the remodeling functionality of everything worked pretty well, and we were able to do it pretty reasonably. The committee went through, we looked at the financials and saw what we had money to do, what we could resave or reuse, and long and short of it, everybody's in their place, everybody's functioning. Function-wise, it turned out pretty well. We've got a few things. We've got some tile that we thought we could save and reuse for the flooring or along the wall base, and it turned out that we, as we were doing the remodel, that when we were trying to take it out, it just broke. So it was originally from Italy. We were able to track it down, and it was no longer being made in Italy. It was being made in the States, and there was three different lot numbers, but we found one that did match, and we got that in order. Also, we had some gates that divided the public just walking in the area, but also kept things at a lower level so they could also see the public working on the documents. Those were getting some heavy-duty hinges for those gates because the first set functioned okay, but the we just wanted something a little heavy duty, and there's also some signage that we have to put in place for the, since the register of deeds moved, and maybe we're going to put some on the gates that say employees only, because I guess some of the public still doesn't realize what the gates are for, so that's kind of a wrap up of the project.
You know, the other thing I highlight, I guess, is that this was the project that at the committee, the building grounds last year, the original estimate was about 185, the better part of 200 grand, and the committee had made the recommendation to cut that down to 100. And then we did go through, it took a little bit more creativity to maybe manage, but it looks like it was a real good move because functionally nothing was sacrificed. And I would argue cosmetically, once these last pieces are put in place, nothing was sacrificed. The committee went through it last month. And the Register of Deeds may differ an opinion on some of the specifics, but I think most folks that go through there are pretty comfortable with filing.
we toured it last month.
Prior to our county board meeting, went down there and took a look at it. And there were some, you know, minor issues, Dennis, about, oh, the carpet's not brand new, you know, what can we do? It was cleaned up. It looks fine. It's functional. We saved over $100,000. And really, administration, Mr. Arbut, Mr. Martinelli, really, they did what we asked them to with the budget we had.
Right.
And so we're pleased with that.
Well, I asked the Register of Deeds what her income's been the last couple of years.
It's been down.
Just one other point that just came up in the last, about a week ago or so, we did have, out through the heavy rains, it turned out that the office the Register of Deeds went in was the old assessor's office, and we had some heavy rains from the east, and there was some water that did come down and got down the basement. As it turned out, I guess it did come down there before, but the assessor must not have made it too well known, and then there was an office that was empty that we actually took down the wall to make a conference room for them. And so now there's a little bit of water there, but we took Insight, our architects that are working on the courthouse, through it and around it, and we found some mortar joints on the east wall especially, but some on the other side that were open that was probably letting the rain in. So we're also exploring that with Berglund, what it would take to make some temporary repairs, because we do have it to redo the building and the budget in the future. So if you hear anything about that, that's where that came from.
Well, assessors are evil, will not tell you the truth. That's why you didn't hear that. So now we move on to new business facilities.
One thing I just want to bring up before we get too far along, there's a couple items on this that I'm surprised you don't have brought back from last week, the last meeting. And one is a parking facility. We're looking at that whole parking downtown campus. Mr. Arbut has been giving us updates on the existing ramp facility, how that might be metered and gone into. So I don't know if it's something you want to address or bring back for the next meeting, but I just don't want to see this slip by without being addressed.
No, yeah, there's two things, actually, because there's the, we did that base information on all the parking, kind of the demographics of who's parking where, and we wanted to wait on that one until...
So what's your pleasure, Mr. Chairman? Do you want to go into this evening? Do you want to see the agenda as a further item? I mean, we have to address it at some point.
Parking facilities.
That, specifically, we had to go back through the past about 2 years and go through all the work that had been done on that parking facility and pretty much go through it with the state item by item more than once. And a result of that audit, they disallowed roughly $35,000, I think is the number, of what was done about 4 years ago, that it didn't follow quite the procedures that it should have, so they're disallowing that. We still haven't gotten the final paperwork, I think, on that.
We have gotten that, and we've gotten the final check.
Okay, we did get the final check. Okay, so now we're at the stage where we've got to define the bid specifications for the gates, so that we actually put the control things in place that were, should have been a long time ago, but that piece, and there's some electrical and lighting security issues in the building that were never really addressed. So basically, I met with the architect like 2 weeks ago to start to develop those bid specifications. Once I get those bid specifications pulled together, then I got to go back to the state, have them bless it. Then we plan on getting it out for bid and doing that work this year to button the whole doggone thing up and be done with it. So it'll be the control gates, some security stuff, and some lighting and electrical stuff.
That would be allowed under the state funding.
Right. I got an email from her today at the state saying, have you got that yet? And I'm working on it. As soon as we get it, I'll get it to you, and then we should be able to wrap that up.
So unless for some reason not here, I'd like to see that it appears an item on our following agenda, so we can paste that and we know what's going on with that.
Right.
And also, when it comes back, have the information as to what the public usage must be, in either percentage-wise or number of spaces, just so we can put it all together in a concise manner. Then the last thing I didn't see on here that we should be talking about is we've had some discussions at our last meeting about Register of Deeds, land information down there in the basement of the administration building. Should there be some type of security camera device, in the sense that that is out of the public eye and it's not readily able to be viewed? People can walk in from the street. An incident could happen down there conceivably. There's not a lot of cash, but there is cash that's held in that area. And then there's a second concern about that document area where those particular, I don't know what they're termed, those documents or those catalogs are virtually irreplaceable. They're, you know, one of a kind, and the public does have access to them where it's a secure area, but yet we don't have any monitoring of that. So, I mean, if an incident happened, we'd have no record as to time, date, and so forth. So I'd ask the committee to at least explore, would it be advised, what would the cost associated be with providing some rudimentary form of video? And that's not been on our agenda.
Now, that one I thought we did wrap up last meeting.
Well, we talked about digital versus analog.
That's as far as I thought we got.
Yeah, he's right. We didn't get farther. We were looking at both, and we didn't get to the following.
Okay. That one I thought we did. I thought that by bringing the information to do a digital and an analog,
right,
and kind of I got the feeling that the consensus was we weren't going to do it. But you're looking for more information.
Well, we got the feeling that the analog was not suitable. It just wouldn't work. The digital would be the way to go. But we didn't really get past that.
So you want a firm figure on that and a recommendation?
Right.
Okay. I misread that then, because we went back through the minutes, and I kind of thought that one ended.
I think that's still on the table.
Okay.
We can look at it.
Okay. Then we'll put something together for the next meeting.
Anything else? Couple follow-ups. If you haven't been involved with Highway and Parks, I neglected to talk about the Pringle Nature Center. You got their minutes, and when you go through them, I mean, you'll have a little hard time understanding what they're talking about. Pringle Nature Center is a group that runs the Pringle Park that was donated by a family named Pringle. To be a nature center. They are not-for-profit. We give them a little subsidy to operate. And at the time that we began doing that, we didn't have their financial statements, we didn't have their minutes, and they've done a fantastic job. We will hold a meeting out there. We usually do it at least once a year. You read through their minutes, and they've really stepped up and followed through with whatever we've asked them to do. And it's a very interesting facility with some real hardworking people. And then when you go through this bat study that you got there, it might not be something, but that actually came out of the Katy Ribbon Committee, somebody from Carpenter. And they were out at the Katy Park and a couple So you'll find some little bits of information there. The other thing is, there's a slight difference between some of the actions that a Highway and Parks Committee makes and say this committee is going to be able to make now. What we did earlier when we resolved to open the Katy Park on weekends, that doesn't go to the county board. There's state statutes that gives the Highway and Park Committee and Commission certain authority, just like setting the golf rates. That doesn't go to the county board. So I think it'll take us a little bit of time to differentiate sometimes between facilities and Highway and Parks, but there's going to be a couple of things that will certainly distinguish the two. When we're dealing with parks, it's going to be one thing, and the Highway Commission and authority is going to be different than what we do with facilities. Yeah, I mean, we can't go out and pop $10 million, you know. It's you read the state statutes, Highway Commission and a Parks Commission has a whole lot of authority to do, you know, many things. Not that we did something drastic tonight, but it's not something that goes to the county board. So, does anybody have anything else, Mr. Harbert?
I don't think I got anything else.
No other matters, so we'll look for a motion.
Just a question. Did we approve the minutes from the last Building and Grounds Committee of April 12th? Do you want to just wait until you have your minutes and we'll prove both at the same time? We'll tie it up all in one package.
Why don't we do that?
Is that acceptable?
Yes, John?
Dennis, there was a question about Katy Park not ever being designated a park. And I had Bernie working on that for a little bit. He said all it takes is for it to have been mentioned in a resolution that way, somewhere along the line. And he was doing that research and hasn't found that for me yet, but I'm pretty sure it probably is. That wording is there somewhere.
I don't know. I was at the ribbon cutting. So, you want to have a resolution to declare it a park?
I might have to.
Yeah, like I say, it was something he stumbled upon that Bernie brought up.
Bernie brought it up. It's just a technicality.
Would someone like to make a motion to declare the, as yet unnamed, county highway property at the intersection of Katy and F, declare a county park?
Yeah, I'm going to take that.
Moved and seconded. I mean, if this will help legally. It's been moved, and this would probably have to go, and this would, I think, informationally go to the county board. Moved and seconded to declare that property a county park. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You from governance?
Aye. Mostly
we're done. Second. We're legal. We're adjourned. Thanks,
everybody.
Okay,
I'm going to make the motion.
Oh,
surprise. Okay, I'm going to.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I made
the motion. It'll be the first Monday.
Okay, that's the
second. Supervisor.
It all was going too fast.
The parking garage, I was going to bring that up. Okay. We got more information. I wasn't sure. Put the other one.